One second. I apologize for having you back. Okay.
The story of Amnon and Tamar. Amnon and Tamar. We read it and translate. Maisa Absalom, the story of Absalom at the rape David's election. Nikra Mitarge, it is read and translated. More asked. Pasha, why would I think different?
What was the question again?
The Gemara said that the story of Amnon and Tamar is read and translated.
Right.
And say that the story of Absalom is also read and translated.
Right.
More asked, Shita, why would I think that you shouldn't translate it? The Gemara says, now the Hema, I would have thought, Lesa Shikari the David, that one should be concerned about the covet, the honor of David. Since these are our David's sons, and we speak about David's sons, I would imagine that we would be concerned about David's honor, and so we wouldn't read and translate the story. Hold on, let me read it and we translate. I said Pelegesh Begiva, the story of Pelegesh Begiva, this story of a very similar story to what happened in Stoyim, happened in Giva, where the Yamin went and they raised a Pelegesh and they pulled her out of this. Almost identically parallel to the story of Lot in Stoyim with his daughter. Ikra Metargim, it's read and translated. More asked, she thought. It's Pashat. Why would I think it's any different? Why wouldn't we translate it? Now the Tema, so I would have thought, says the Gemara, Leichesh Lechvei de Binyamin, that we should be concerned about the covet of Shevet Binyamin, that this was a dastardly deed that Shevet Binyamin committed, and at this point we no longer want to remind everyone about the dastardly deeds of Shevet Binyamin. Pashmalon, so the Gemara tells us that in fact we read it and we translate. Now, we said in the Mishnah, how does Yerushalayim say that the Haftarah of Yerushalayim, make known to Yerushalayim, it's abominable act. So, Nikra on the target. So, we say it's read and translated. So, the Gemara asks, she says, Pasha says it should be read and translated. So, the Gemara answers, Hukim is that Abelazar to exclude. This is coming to teach us that the halacha is not like Rebbe Lezer. We said in the Mishnah that Rebbe Lezer holds that we don't read this haftarah, and so the halacha is not in accordance with Rebbe Lezer. And yet, as we learned, Ma'aseh Ba'adam Echad, there was a story with a certain person, Shahayah Kedah, the man of Rebbe Lezer. He was reading the Torah from the Bima above Rebbe Lezer, and he read the haftarah, Chodesh Yerushalayim Aseya Abisah. He read this haftarah. Omar Lois or Lezer said, until before you start reading the about the abominations that Yerushalayim committed, say it makes the Fayyabis info. Go and check out the abominations that the mother committed. So they went and they researched his. He said, Makabesh and Psalm, they found some sort of a soul in his mother Yichud. So the question is, what did he do already? He was following the halacha. The halacha doesn't follow Rebbe Lezer. What did this person do wrong in reading the Afeda of Oedes Yerushalayim? So the answer is very pasha. In Rebbe Lezer's shul, Rebbe Lezer was the Maradash. He was there. In the old days, there was no set hafter that had to be read. Today we have the minig these are the hafters that we read. In those days, if you didn't want to read this hafter, you could read a different hafter or something else that's related to the parsha. Mm-hmm. So, in Rebbe Lezer's shul, he should have followed the custom of Rebbe Lezer. The fact that he didn't showed that he didn't have the utmost derechet that he should have had for the dog. And the rule is that we say that if somebody doesn't have this probably comes from a defect in his year.
Also,
these things are read and not translated. So now we're going to speak about a bunch of cases and wrap them in. The beginning of each case will correspond to the first letter, the letter of that of Rabban. We'll have a bunch of cases. So Ma'aser Ruvain, so that Ruvain is the first letter of Rava. Ma'aser Ruvain is a mnemonic device to help us recall. But in those days, they didn't find it right, didn't write it down. They had to memorize it, so they needed a mnemonic device to remember a series of cases. So Ma'aser Ruvain, the story of Ruvain, you can believe it's hard, it's read, and it's not translated. Ma'aser Rav Chanina ben Gamliel shall hold up in the Kabul. Rav Chanina ben Gamliel went to Kabul, the Hayekhid Chazan HaKnesses, and the Chazan HaKnesses, the Balkari, read by Hebrew Shem Yitzel, and he read the story of Ruvain, and he started the Amalei the Meturgamon, and he said to the Meturgamon, or Chanina said to the Meturgamon, Hasbeit. Stop. Al-Tasarim El-Akhin. Only read the only translate the end of the Pasuk. The end of the Pasuk here is actually the beginning of a new Perek. The Pasuk that ends one Parsha and starts another Parsha. And the beginning of the Parsha of the next, of the forthcoming Parsha, which is actually the middle of a Pasuk, is that the Bnei Yaakov Shnei Masav. There were 12, that Yaakov's children were 12, that even after the Avera of Reuben, Reuben was still considered one of the Shmas. So, the Shekhu Chavamin,
I mean, how can an Avera describe yourself?
Such an Avera, like for example, that would involve, say, curry. So it cuts off from bodies, it cuts off from the diverse. So Bnei Yaakov or Shnei Masar is to tell us that they were all equal, they were still considered tzaddikim. Not necessarily that he wouldn't be counted as a son altogether, but the point being that the Torah is immediately saying testimony about Reuben that he's still included in the Shlatim. He wouldn't be pushed aside not to be considered one of the Shlatim. Maybe he would be not his children maybe would be considered under a different shazer.
Let me ask you a simple question. If that's the case, so what about the Masi Yosef? The 11 Shlatim or the 10 Shlatim should have been discarded.
We're not saying necessarily that they should have been discarded. The Torah says that he wasn't discarded. That's the point.
Implying.
Whatever the implication is, the point is that so for our purposes is that this part of the Pasuk should be translated, and the first part of the Pasuk shouldn't be translated. Shifu Chachamim, the Chachamim praised this manner of translation. Ma'isa Egel Hasheni, the second part of the story about the Egel HaTzav is Nikra V'Loi Retargi. It is read and it is not translated. Ma'isa Ma'isa Egel Hasheni. What constitutes the Ma'isa Egel Hasheni, the second part of the story? So we say in Vayim and Mesha, from the pasuk that says that Vayim and Mesha, Mesha said to Aaron, what happened here? He asked the parts of Aaron, and Aaron responds, and he says, Vayim and Egel HaTzav, so he says, and out came, I threw into I threw the gold into the fire, and I mixed it with the chodesh, and out came this Egel HaTzav. So and the next pasuk is Vayim Mesha, Mesha saw. So from the beginning of Vayimim, from Vayimim Mesha until Vayimim Mesha, you do not translate. Tanya, we learned, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, that a person should be very careful and have your response to a question. Because of the manner in which Aaron responded to Mesha's inquiry, the heretics took a false lesson from his response. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, I threw the gold into the fire, and this calf came out. So the minion said, look, Aaron threw gold into the fire, and a calf walked out, so that is not just an ordinary incident. This is a true story of Avodah Zarah. This is a power. This is a power outside of God that came out of this fire. This was an Avodah Zarah that has something to it. So therefore, we learn from this, from Anna's response, that one should be very careful in his responses to make sure that no one can learn a false lesson.
When he actually got angry at Aaron, it was because of this specifically response?
No, well, not because of the response, because of just the manner of the whole story. Third is creating an equally related argument.
the Birchas Kohanim, we read and we're not Metargim. The Gemara asks my time, why don't we translate it? The Gemara answers, we should say Yisa, because it says in the Pasuk of Birchas Kohanim, when it's written to Yisa Hashem, Father Elecha, may Hashem grant favor to you. So the problem is that people are going to think that Hashem shows favor to them. And what they don't realize is it's not that this is favoritism without faith. This is it has a basis to it. The basis of the favoritism is that the Hashem commanded the Yidden, the house of the Savata, you'll eat, you'll be satisfied, and you'll bench. So in order to be chayav for Birchas HaMazon and Atar, you have to eat until today's Tzviya, until you're satisfied. Whatever, somebody eats Kedayis, only a small amount, and he's not satisfied, he has no being Midairaisa of Birchas Kohanim. He doesn't have any chayav. Nevertheless, the Chachamim imposed an obligation that if somebody eats being Kedayis or Kedayis, he has to bench. So, this, that the Yidden goes more than what's required, they go l'fnim yishuras ha-din. So Hashem also responds in kind, l'fnim yishuras ha-din, l'yit Hashem panim yelecha, is not favoritism, it is response in kind. Maisa does it, but we nevertheless, because this would take too long to translate, we don't translate this one. Maisa does it, but I'm going to learn it. The story of David and Amnon, we don't read and we don't translate. We're asked, what are you talking about? We just said earlier that the Maisa of Amnon and Omar, we do read. He said, you do read it and you do translate it. Where answers like gosh, it's no question. How do you say Amnon and David in the Pesukim where it speaks about Amnon being the son of David? We don't read and don't translate those Pesukim. How do you say Amnon and Sama where it only speaks about Amnon without reference to him being the son of David? Then we read it and we translate it. We don't skip those Pesukim. Because after all, the whole point is the covenant of Dov, not the covenant of Am. Tarabon, our sage spoke, Kalam, the Tzvetik, the Tzvetik, the Gnaik, the Tzvetik, the Mishnah. All the Pesukim is that throughout Tanakh, where there is an explicit use of a word that's rather explicit, it's very denigrating and explicit. So, Kerenes Lashach, it's not only derogatory, it's an explicit word. It's a
derogatory.
We'll see the examples, you'll understand. To Goyim, for example, we read in the Pesach that the Yishach is Golema, that the Ksid is Yish Golema. Yish Golema means to someone else will commit adultery, someone will lie carnally with your wife. And we don't read it Yishkolena, we read it Yishkivena. We tone down the language over here and we say why with her, not have intercourse. Achloilin, it says also in the Tanakh that you'll suffer from achloilin. There's differences between what achloilin is. According to some, it's severe hemorrhoid. We don't want to use that word. In the Kriyas HaTorah, Balachim Rishasina, we say Bakhoyim, a lesser term for that. Chid Yoinim, so it says that there'll be a huge hunger and you will buy and eat what comes out of the Chur of a Yoinim, out of the hole of a dove. And we don't read it as coming out specifically out of the Chur, out of the hole, so we read it Div Yoinim. That it comes that which flows from the yoyna. So the pasuk lechol is chaydehem that they'll eat that chaydehem that which comes out of their backside. The lishlis is made meshinehem and they'll drink essentially their diarrhea. So we don't read. So that's what it's, how it's written. But we read it lechol is chaydehem that they'll eat that which comes out of their body, the lishleishes, mainly raglehem, and drink the water that comes out from their lips. Same thing, lemechrois, again, the word char comes from the word of a hole, so we read it a little more genteelly, lemechrois, that which comes out. That Yishoven Karshaver, Yishoven Karsha says, lemechrois, ishman. No, when it comes to the word mechrois, there we read it the way it written. Why? Because referring to Avodah Zarah, and for Avodah Zarah, one may denigrate Avodah Zarah. Amar Machlis, and Machlis says, in a similar vein, all types of making fun are forbidden, except for making fun of Avodah Zarah, which is permitted. As it says, about the Avodah Zarah Baal, Korah, Baal, crashed down to go to the bathroom, and Avodah Zarah Nevoi splashed when it was doing its thing. Uksiv and those apostles, Karu, Yashav, Layukhla Malik Masa, that they crashed down and together, Layukhla Malik Masa, and they couldn't hold in that which they had in their barrel. Rabbi Yanni says, Mahacha, we learned it out from this pasuk. Not so much from the pocket, but from a Jewish set, you say about a pocket. The eglis beis oven, for the eglis beis oven, you gurush, shame, reins, you oval, olav, amech, madav, olav, you heal off, fezik, you gola, amen. Pasuk essentially is saying that they rejoice with the people, they rejoice with the priest, and the people, they rejoice with the Avodah Zarah. And it says, kvoidoi, al kvoidoi. What are they rejoicing about? It's covet, it's honor. That which is holding in its spouse. Oh, so they essentially they were rejoicing that their Avodah Zarah that had constipation no longer has constipation. Said the name of the son of go take a prison is permitted to say to an idol worshiper, go take your Avodah Zarah, go take your idol and shove it up your behind. Abed Avashi, Hashi said, Haiman, the family Shimone, somebody who has a reputation for soliciting prostitutes, Shadirin and Vasuye, you can be revived with it. You can denigrate. The Gimel Lashin, this different explanation. So Hashi basically saying you could say that his mother is a slave, you could say that he's an idiot. Somebody who has a good reputation, you can praise him. Not only can you praise him, it's praiseworthy to do it. The man of the shabbos, somebody praises him, blessing should dwell on his head. The next panic is, this Mishnah is talking about selling holy items, and what you're allowed to do if you're allowed to sell it, and what you're allowed to do with the proceeds. So B'nai Yair, the citizens of the city Shemachu Rechev Shomir that sold the town square, loyches and non beis hakneset. They can purchase with the proceeds a beis hakneset. And we're going to find that throughout this Mishnah that what the rule is that Mylum Bakud, she had to go up in holiness. But we sold the town square. The town square has some holiness according to the Simon, the one that's marked. That is another opinion that it has no holiness, but according to this opinion, it has holiness either because, according to one opinion, is that you do all this on a kindness. We remember that the later stages of the kindness for a child, they go out into the Rechoyim Ha'ir, they go out into the city points, and they lead the, and they lead the Torah, and they daven. So all of that occurs in the city center. So since they sometimes daven over there, it has some level of holiness. So if you sell it, you can't just use the money for any ordinary purpose. You have to go up and elevate that money to the proceeds for something of greater sanctity. They can buy with it, with the proceeds, the Beit HaKnesset, the shul. Beit HaKnesset, a shul, if you sold it, Leishim Teva, you can purchase with it an Arun Kodesh. So I'm explaining the Bima, not sure exactly what's meant here with it. Teva, Leishim is fine. If you sold an Aron Kodesh, you can buy the mantle or a Sefer Torah, the cover of the Sefer Torah. The cover of the Sefer Torah, each is for you can purchase gold in Mitzvahet, you can buy with it Mashim, buy in the Exuvim, Rashi says to the Exuvim, you can purchase even if it doesn't have to be necessarily from Mashim. Loichet Svarit, what happens if you sold Spartan gold and they'll be for a museum? So the lake's interior, then you have to buy a steak of terror with the house. In muscle terror, what happens if they sold the steak of terror? Well, you can Spartan, then you cannot purchase Spartan because that would be going down in holiness. Smartin, like mitzvahs, if you sold them, being so, then you can't fly with it. Mitzvahs, a manful for a secretary. Mitzvahs, like you could say, if you sold the manful for a secretary, like you could say, you're not allowed to buy a, the maid here, you're not allowed to buy a iron cradish table, like you could make a knesset, if you sold the table, they can't fly with it, a soul. If a knesset, like you could ask a cradish, they can't fly with that city.
So what do they have to do with all these cases?
So they should go up in
no, okay. But if it's a secretary.
If it's terror, really you shouldn't sell because you can't go up in. If they sold it, you have to buy another state of terror. But generally, you shouldn't really be selling state of terror. Chamber makes media, and the same thing goes with regard to since it applies, this same rule applies to the leftover of the purchase, according to. Some explanations and others explain what happened. So let's say you got $1,000 for the paper, and the mantle only cost $900, and then $100 left over. So you don't have to that. So I would have thought that you don't have to buy. You don't have to buy a mantle for the paper. Now you can buy whatever you want for that. So most of the proceeds for that majority went for the purpose. So we say no. Every bit of the proceeds has to go to the. To the higher level condition purchase. And others say that what what's talking about here Mitzrayim means that I would have thought that what happens if the item is valued at $500? If they put it up for auction and it's on off season and it went for $600. But I would have thought that the $100 that extra that went above the fair market value can be used for another purpose. So the mission says no.
There's nothing higher than a second tariff in terms of Kedusha.
There are times when you can sell a second tariff for other purposes, but in Kedusha, that's the highest. Right. So, for example, the Gemara elsewhere, we're not going to get into it, but somebody could sell a second tariff for other purposes. And then you have the Gemara says, Menei Adir Shemashu Rechei Vishodir. The citizens of a city that fall. The center of the city. Omer Rabbeinu Amar Yechon, Rabbeinu Tarkana said the name of the Yechon, two different Nachman by Yechon. This part of the Mishnah that you say that the Bnei Yair Shemachru Rechivra Shel Yair have to purchase with it something of that of sanctity that's higher than the Rechivra Shel Yair assumes that there is a sanctity in the Rechivra Shel Yair. Who holds that there's sanctity in the Rechivra Shel Yair? This is Nachman by Yechon. This was Nachem Bar Yosi said many Mishnayos that are Sam Mishnayos that don't have his name as the author, just Sam Mishnah. There's many Sam Mishnayos that are who the author of that Mishnah is Menachem Bar Yosi. He's called Menachem Bar Yosi Simon. So whose opinion does this Mishnah accord with Menachem Bar Yosi? This Menachem Bar Yosi says this part about the. The city center that it has a tradition to that. But the Chachamim say, at a place, Abraham Mishon, there is no Kedusha in the city point. But Nachem Bar Yosi might say, that's a large number of Nachem Bar Yosi hold that there is Kedusha. Because during the Tainus, the later stages of the trout, where they go out to the city center and they go diving over there, so that has a bit of a rule of a condition, has some condition to it. Ma'amadis, and also the Ma'amadis. Now, Ma'amadis, we spoke about two different types of Ma'amadis, and it's not clear here what kind of Ma'amadis we're talking about. Ma'amadis generally refers to that, as we spoke a few days ago, that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so you have to have people who stood and watched. You have to have the Chayim and Babi Gotham, Levi and the Duchanam. The Levi So the Kayanim are performing that way, the Levim who are singing, and all the people who are standing, the Sha'elim who are standing around and watching because they have to stand over the Karban Kamid. Not everyone who are part of the Yisrael B'Mal Vodim actually went up to the Beis HaMikdash. Many of those who were designated to be part of the Maimon stayed in their city and they were gathered together in the Beis HaKnesses, and they would fast, and they would have a special Kriyas HaTorah. We said they sweep some gracious, they read every day Kriyas HaTorah. But the odd thing is that we don't find anywhere that this occurred in the city center. In fact, we find that it says that they went into the Beis HaKnesses, they went to the shul. So others say that this is not referring to that Maimonides, it's referring to a different Maimonides that we spoke about the other day, and that is that we said in the Mishnah, that you don't do Maimonides with fewer than 10 people, because the Maimonides by a Levaya, where they say, into your car in Yeshuvah, your car stands to honor people, sit to honor people, you have to have 10 people, and where would they perform those 7 Maimonides? And during the Levaya, they would stop 7 times and sit down and give an opportunity to anyone who wants to say a Hesed to say a Hesed. So that's the Maimonides that it's referring to, and that would occur in the city center and not in the cemetery as one might have
called Maimonides, just those types of
things. On the Chachamim say, Ahu Akrei Ba'alma, that's too an unusual occurrence to give it any sort of formal sanctity to that area. Beis HaKnesses Lotion Teva. If you sell a shul, you can purchase with the proceeds a teva, a Arim Kodesh, or perhaps the Bima Sakra. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Amar Rav Yehonatan, and Shmuel Bar Nachmini said the name of Rav Yehonatan, the Shonar Alei Beis HaKnesses was part. When do we say that a person could, that a city, that a city citizen can sell, that the citizens can sell a shul, see, it's when we're talking about a village. Villagers, not really city citizens, but villagers can sell a shul. A business shakachim, but city shul, given the Ma'alma of the way, since people come from all over to down there, and so it's built on with them in mind, they must have been down there. Even the city citizens cannot sell the shul. Take this gives two explanations for this rule.
Can you tell me to get it more quiet?
Close it.
Yeah, close it.
He has a loud voice. He's not gonna, that's what he thought. I say it. That's what I said.
Yes.
So again, if the Knesset lays in table, somebody, if the citizens want to sell the Beit Knesset, or they sold the Beit Knesset, they can purchase with the proceeds and are in traders. Amar Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Rav Yehoshua, the son of Nachmani said, in the name of Rav Yehoshua, they sold all the Beit Knesset so far. When do we say that you're permitted to sell a shul? That's when it's in the village. All the Beit Knesset are cracking, but a Beit Knesset, a shul that in a big city, even in Alma, also since people come from all over the world, and down there, there's tourists and visitors, and since the shul was purchased with them in mind, or built with them in mind, so they are considered also part owners of the shul. And they must have been talking to them, you can't sell the shul because you don't know, you would have to have money called by yourself in order to sell it. But basically gives two explanations about what the reason is about these tourists. So either the reason is that since, as we just said, the shul was built knowing that people are going to come to daven there from all over the world, so it was built with them in mind. And since it was built with them in mind, one cannot sell the shul without their permission. And so even the city citizens cannot sell the shul because they're not the sole owners of the shul. It belongs to the whole Kabbalah. Tosfos also says a different explanation is that what this Gemara is talking about is not just a shul in the city, but we're, when they were soliciting funds to build a shul, they solicited funds from people who came for tishrei. They were fascinating their tishrei, and they gave, this one gave $1,000, that one gave $1,000, and said, we're making an appeal to build a shul, and people gave. So now the person who lives in Sacramento is not in New York, but he gave $1,000 for the shul. So now just to sell the shul without his permission, so he's a part owner, and he can't sell it without him. Without his permission. So it's talking about a case where they solicited money from all over. In such a case, then he can't sell. But in a case where nobody gave money, so according to that explanation, he would be able to sell the shul. So if the shul was built solely with the funds solicited from the congregants, then the congregants would have permission to sell it. And according to the other answer, they would still not be able to sell it since they built it knowing that people from all over the world would be davening there. Amar Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi says, "Hi, the condition of the Masa Mechatzia. The shul of Masa Mechatzia. It was in Babel in a place called Masa Mechatzia, and Rav Ashi was the rav of the shul. So he said, 'Ah, I got the Malma Asama.' Even though people come from all over the world to hear me darshan, to hear my darshan, they come to hear what I have to say, to watch me daven. Even that day to the Vika, also since they come." Because of me, the purpose that they're coming to this shul from all over is because of me. If I wanted, I could sell the shul because everybody is bottled to me in this thing because they all came, they built the shul for me. So from this place, you can say that if a rebbe built a shul, so it's his shul, and nobody could say that since it's built in the city, it can't be sold because it was built for everybody, because everybody who's coming to the shul is coming to the inn, and so he has the balabatashkank over the shul. Meisrei, we weren't asking the question. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, or Yehuda said, Meisrei the Beit Knesset shul towards the inn. There was a shul of tursium, copper, the people who refined copper. Shalayim Yerushalayim. This shul was in Yerushalayim. Shemachru the Rebbe Lezer, and they went and they sold the shul to Rebbe Lezer. Va'azah by called Tzarachan, and he converted it from a shul for his own personal use. The Gemara asks, how could they sell the shul? Where was the shul? The shul was in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is an international city. Va'azah the Chachim of it was the shul of Yerushalayim. How could they sell it? We just said you can't sell the shul in a big city. But the Gemara says, no. You know why they were allowed to sell it? That was an exception to the general rule. Ahi beknishna sutaha, but that was a very small shibul, and people didn't come from all over to that shibul. The reason why it was a small shibul was because they were
the sarsim, the people who refine, the matter of refining caused them to have this body odor that was not very pleasant. The people didn't want to be around them. Who could be around them were other refiners, so they made a shtibble for the refiners, so people didn't walk into that shtibble. But since it, even though it was in a big city, but since it was just a small shtibble for people who were refiners and nobody else wanted to come there, it was considered a, like it was as if it was in a small village and could be sold. The Inn of Dom and other. So now the Gemara says Meisri. That's a good question. Meisri Eretz was asked.
And in the Inn of Dom, they say the Tosaim, those are the ones who built that shul.
Yeah, they the ones who built the shul, so then so it's there. So they had it all about the strength. Meisri.
So okay.
I'm sorry?
Right.
Meisri. The Gemara asks the Reisach in reference to Yerushalayim. So I'm sorry. With reference to Negoyim, we say that only in the, when, what type of property we say that a house could have tzaras. Yes, a person could have tzaras, clothing could have tzaras, a house could have tzaras. What kind of house could have tzaras? So it says the Reisach Uzasim and the things that are for your inheritance, something that belongs that could be privately owned. Something that could be privately owned, that could have negoyim. Privately owned house could have negoyim. In Yerushalayim, the time of the negoyim.
It's Israel, of course.
Yeah, but in Yerushalayim, the time of the negoyim. But Yerushalayim cannot have negei habayit. Amar of Yehuda, so Yehuda said, Ani l'shamayti, I didn't hear such a halacha that nowhere in Yerushalayim can have the only thing that I heard the halacha was made in reference to the Beis HaMikdash itself, that the Beis HaMikdash can't have Negoyim. So the Gemara asks, Bati Knesiyas Bati Midrash and Tame, is that to say that Bati Knesiyas Beis Shul or Beis Medrash could be Tame? Amai, why should it be able to be Tame? It's something that we said that the shuls and the Beis Medrash of a large city can't become, it's not private property, it can't be sold. So if it's not private property, it can't be sold in a large city, and Yerushalayim is considered a large city except for that the refiner's shul. So all the shuls and the Beis Medrash are considered to be property of all of Klal Yisrael. So if it's property of all of Klal Yisrael, so it's not Tachudachem. You can't say it's privately owned. It's not owned, not only it's not owned individually, it's not even owned by a town. It's owned by all of Klal Yisrael, so it's not Tachudachem. So how could you say only Makim Mikdash Chovat? How could you possibly say that the only place in Yerushalayim that can't have Nigi Batim is the Beis HaMikdash, when it would have to be that at the very least, a shul or a Beis Medrash also shouldn't be able to have Nigei Bayis. So the Gemara says, Eimar, Rabbi Yehuda said that when Rabbi Yehuda said, Ani lo shamayti that I didn't hear, I will make Muktash Tovat, add an avav to Mikdash and make it Muktash to any holy place. Any holy place, since it would be considered the public property, it would belong to all of Klal Yisrael, so Taka, it can't have Nigei Bayis. The Gemara says, what are they arguing about when they say about, we have here a machlekes of the Tanakhama and the and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakhama says that Yerushalayim, the all of Yerushalayim can't have Nigei Bayis, and Rabbi Yehuda says, I only heard about Makim Mikdash, Makim Muktash can't have. What's the basis of their argument? The Gemara says, Tanakhama, Savar, the Tanakhama holds, claim this Chalki, Yerushalayim, Mishpachim. The Yerushalayim was not divided up into tribes, for the tribes. It's a intertribal city. But if Yehuda saw it, if Yehuda holds, it's how Yerushalayim
so it's not an Ahuza.
That it was divided for the Shvatim, it was divided between Yehuda and Yamin, and so in fact it's privately owned. It belongs to each individual Shevet. So I'm explaining what does this mean over here that Rabbi Yehuda says it was divided, it wasn't divided. Chalikas and Matthias, and they're arguing about what actually occurred. So we say, no, they're not really arguing about what occurred in the beginning. What happened is, at the outset, when Shua made the Chalukah Saaretz, he divided up Yerushalayim, part of it was Binyamin, part of it was Yehuda. And then the question was, when they designated Yerushalayim to be the holy city, the city of the Beis HaMikdash, did the Shvatim of Binyamin and Yehuda relinquish their rights to their property rights to the city, or did they not relinquish it? The Buddha says that they did not relinquish it, and the Panakama says that they did relinquish their property. But what happened at the first one, there was Chalukah HaAretz, everybody agrees there was Chalukah HaAretz. As we find with Washington, D.C., you know, it was, they relinquished Virginia and Maryland, they were, and I think it is, relinquished their sovereign rights to
have property.
Sorry?
The have deal.
Yes. Of Lukta, the Hanit Hanoi, and it's probably in the Machlekes of this time, in the Tanya, as we learned, Mahay B'chef Vich Yehuda, what was in the Chelek of Yehuda? What was included from the Beis HaMikdash in part of Yehuda? So we say Har HaBayis, the whole Har HaBayis, the general area of the Har HaBayis, Halishkeis, the offices, Vasaris, and the courtyards, the Esnash, and the Sisral, the Shchayim, that was all in Yehuda's Shir. What was in the Chelek of the Yalman? So Ulam, the building of the Ulam, the Heichal was the Heichal, and the inner chamber of the Beis HaKadoshim, and the Kedesh HaKadoshim was in Binyamin's Chelek. Uritzua, Haitha, Yeitzis, Mechelkel, Shal Yehuda, Mechneses, Mechelkel, Shal Binyamin. There was a little strip that went from a land that went, that extended out of Yehuda's Chelek into Binyamin's Chelek, Ulam is Be'ech Bonai, and there was the Mizbeach was built. Bahaya Binyamin Hatzadik Mitzayir Allah. Binyamin Hatzadik, the original Binyamin Yaakov's son, was very upset about this. And B'chol Yayin Mevoila, he always wanted to annex this piece that should be everything. The whole Beis HaMikdash should be the Makam HaMizbeach was from Yehuda.
Right.
So,
the
Heichel was from Binyamin. So it seems like not just the Heichel and the Ulam, but a little bit, we said Azaris, well, the Azuskayin, and was also from Yehuda, but it seems like there was a part of even of that part of Azara that belonged to Binyamin, and there was just a little tiny strip that went in and incorporated the area of the Mizbeach, and that was in Yehuda. And there was a tiny little bit, the end of the Mizbeach, where there's no Yesod, that area belonged to Binyamin. So they had it down to the inches, you know. Property rights, everybody wants exactly to their property line. But Binyamin was upset. He wanted always that the Hashem's Shechina should dwell among his children.
But he had the Echal already.
So, first of all, not necessarily did he know exactly what he was going to get. He might not have known that he was going to have the Beis HaMikdash, first Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, third Beis HaMikdash, Mishka Shilim, Mishka Noyim, they were all in Binyamin's Chelek. He didn't necessarily know that it always was going to be in his Chelek. Shenemar, as I said, a pasuk by Binyamin, Chaytet Olav Kolayim, he was always upset and about it all day. Asicha, Chazach, Binyamin, therefore, Binyamin was merited. He became the host of the Shechina. The Pesach Kadoshim, the Aron, was in his chelik. Hi, Tana Sover, this Tana holds. Lein Eschalka, Yerushalayim Lishvatim. So the Tana Kama holds like this opinion about this division of Yehuda and Binyamin. As we learned in a Braisa, one may not rent out apartments in Yerushalayim. Because even though the ostensible owner thinks it's his, it's not really his apartment to rent out. If he wants to give out an apartment, he has to give it out for free. And there's a machlokes whether this refers only to the time of Aliyah LeRegel that week or
the whole year. But that's a matter of concern. Let's read Tzadik Gamer, let's read the son of Tzadik says, halfway meter. Not only are they not allowed to take rent for the apartment, even their items that are inside the apartment. So if you have a bed in the apartment, which the bed is certainly his, it's the owner's bed, he can't take rent for it since the bed is sitting in on property that's not his. So he loses out that he can't even rent out the bed. Lasticha, nevertheless, he doesn't go empty-handed. Lasticha, chayder is kachem. If the guest brings karbonis, and he brings a shlamim or a taida for which he receives in return, after he brings the carbon, he gets back the art, he gets the hide. So the host is allowed to take it, he can even take it by force. It actually belongs to him as he contends the skin, the hides of the animal. Amar Abaya, so Abaya says Shmamina, from here we learn that it's the Cheres, the Mishpach, in such a situation, the guest, that he should give in his Gulfa, or Mashkabush, so he should give over the if he brings a vase or something with flowers, he should leave the vase there, he should leave the jug that he brought with him, and also the hives for the host. This whole mission that we just said that you can only be Milan Bakadish, that if you sell the Rechava here, you have to buy a basic nest. If you sell a basic nest, you have to buy a tailor. If you sell a tailor, you have to buy the Matpachas. If you sell the Matpachas, you have to buy a Nevi'im Ksuvim. If you sell the Nevi'im Ksuvim, you can only buy a tailor. That's all referring to a case where they didn't sell it in a completely valid manner. They didn't sell it. They sold it in a completely valid manner, then it's completely sold, the kedusha goes off entirely, and they can do with it whatever they want. There's no kedusha that remains, and you can even sell it and purchase with the proceeds, you can make a beer party, the trash. That's talking about where they didn't sell it in the presence of the board of directors, the Shiva Tovia here, the community, the elected community board, the Maimed Anshei Eir, and in the presence of the people of the city, the electorate. If they sold it in the presence of the electorate and the community board, it's sold. But if they sold it in their presence, you can even buy with the proceeds, you can buy beer for a beer party. That doesn't mean that the mantle will lose its sanctity. The proceeds doesn't take on sanctity. Ravina has a piece of land that he purchased, but not in its proper manner. So he bought the mounds on which the Knisha, the ruins of the shul were sitting. Also, the comment of Ravashi. Ravina came in front of Ravashi and Yamar Lay, and he said, "My holy Mister, what can I plant it? Can I use this to plant the field?" Amar Lay, so he said to him, "Field spinning the shul, so we either my medanchier go and purchased it properly from the Shivat of Eir in the presence of the electorate, and then it'll be completely yours, and then you can do whatever you wish. And then you can plant it." Rabbi Bar Abba have a
confirms, in other words, that I'm last sorry? Opinion. This example confirms the yes opinion, right?
Rabbi Bar Abba have a carbonic big nishta. Rabbi Bar Abba was built up of our soul. Have a heat nishta tika. I have a boy in this today. There was an old shul, and he wanted to tear down the shul to use its parts. He wanted to use the bricks, he wanted to use the beams to build the new shul. To bring the bricks and the beams to that new shul. He was that, and he was asking about this question about Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda said, "We listed the Knishta and the Bala the Knishta. I want to tear down one shul to build another shul." So is the reason why you're not allowed to tear down the shul because we're afraid that you're not going to build the shul, or is it a complete Yes, sir. So is the reason how come Mishum Shio? So the reason you're not allowed to tear down a shul before you build a new shul is because we're afraid that you can tear down the old shul and then something will happen and you'll never build a new shul. If you want to see an example, you go on Union Street and see what happened with the Kollel. They tore down the Kollel to put up a new building, to extend it, and that was 15, 20 years ago in New York City. So generally, you're not allowed to do it. There are some opinions that say that if there's depends. The Machlekes HaPesachim, that if there's a other shul, if there's another base medrash someplace else in the town, so then you can tear it down to build a new one. The others say that no, the rule is universal. The Gemara asks, "Ki Gavna Mike." In our case, what would be the rule if you're actually tearing down the shul to build your? As you're tearing it down, you're moving the stuff to the new place to build it. So other the kind of apostles, or Chizik came. So he came in front of Rav Papa. So
ask him.
This Rabbi Barabba came to Rav Papa, and he said it's forbidden. I made the Rabbi Barabba, and then he went and he thought to lash another dove and get a headache. And he also said it's forbidden. So it's a universal rule that you can't tear down, even if you're doing it simultaneously, tearing down as you're building up. Amar Rabbi Barabba said, Haidik Nishta, Bishol Chilutza, Vizabuna Shari. It's permitted, a shul, you can exchange it. If you don't like this building, the old shul is old, you want to get a new, big, fancier shul, so you want to buy a house next door and convert that shul, so you can be machrit. You can exchange the shul, and the Kedusha of one goes to the Kedusha of the other.
And the other
so
one
this building, the other building, and this one becomes chol. Is Abuna the same thing? You can sell a shul, because when you sell the shul, the money becomes hektish. The proceeds become hektish. So the Kedusha...
See, in this life, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's very unspending, right? If tomorrow is decided to store it and build a new shul, is it out or not?
So that's what we said. It depends if you follow the opinion that says that you're... That if there's other shuls in the neighborhood, then you can do it. And some places, what they do is they build a shul. If they're building a bigger shul, they build a shul over the old shul and then tear down the... So there's an opinion that if the shul is unstable, if it's unsound, the shul is going to collapse, then you can tear down the shul. Because you're not tearing it down to build a new shul, you're tearing it down because it's unsound. Shari, so that you're allowed to. Ugro mashkuna, to give it out as a mashkin, as collateral on a loan, that you're not allowed to do. My time, what's the reason? Because there, there's nothing that the Kedusha is transferring to. There's just that you mortgage off the property of the shul. But the machlif, as we said before, to exchange it or to sell it, that you're allowed to. To mortgage it, you're not allowed to. How many leaves? The Gemara says, when is that referring to? About Bikasa. When it's an old shul. Although the Chazata, if it's, you're talking about the bricks that you haven't yet used to build a shul. So let's say you're building your shul and you bought 50,000 bricks. It turns out that you only needed 45,000 bricks. And now there's 5,000 bricks that you haven't yet put into a wall at all. So those bricks have no kedusha. Those bricks you can sell, and it's not a problem. You can also mortgage it. You can even a shul you can sell them. These bricks, you can mortgage it. Even according to the opinion that Hasmana, he that designating something for Kedusha takes on Kedusha just by the mere designation, even if you haven't yet used it, it takes on holiness because you designated it for something holy, and these bricks you designated for the building of a shul. Nevertheless, it's not considered sufficiently designated. You haven't yet begun to use it sufficiently that it should be considered to have the rule of hazmana. So the Gemara says, how really, when do we say that hazmana miltihi to going on, not everybody holds that hazmana miltihi, but even according to the opinion that hazmana miltihi, in this case, everyone would agree that it's not a hazmana. How really, when do we say that hazmana miltihi to going on, that you're amazed, somebody sows a cushion for a dead person. So we sold it to that person, so the things that belong to a dead person, that's made for a dead person, become also hanah. You know, and have hanah from it. But since this was made for the dead person specifically, even though ultimately you didn't use these tachrichim for this mace, it becomes asur v'hanah because you actually sold it, it's finished. You have essentially a garment. Aval hacha, over here, in the case of the bricks, it's not like you sold tachrichim and they're farting, they're finished. It's as if you were just creating the fabric to sew for the tachrichim. So it's a hasmona, and so it's not considered a hasmona. It's not sufficiently close to prep to its actual use that we should consider it, that should be designated for the holy.
Tavit is what exactly? Okay.
I'm sorry, what?
Tavit.
We just see tavit.
Ketavit.
Ketavit means that it's spun. The lekel among the Omar, and there's no one that says matana. So fligi bodavacha v'rabina chad asar chad shari. When it comes to matana, one says that there's. So the Gemara asks, no one arguing about matana. We say, in fact, there is no one who argues about it. There is an argument about a gift. Chad asar chad shari. One says that it's permitted to give us a gift, and one says it's prohibited to give us a gift. Manda asar. The one who says that you're not allowed to give a daughter should be a shul as a gift behind tifkei kedushata, because by giving it as a gift, there's no exchange, and so there's nothing for the Kedusha to be challah. There's nothing to transfer the Kedusha onto. Among the Shari, the one who says that it is permitted to give as a gift, so there was something that was given as a hanah. But people don't give a shul as a gift. It means that somebody put in sweat and tears and blood into the shul, and so he gave something of value, and so that value is what takes on the Kedusha. He loved the Havli Anomaly, if not for the fact that the congregants had enough from, they got something, some benefit from this person, they wouldn't have given him the Shola as a Matan. It's not a true Matan. There's no such thing as a true Matan as a Shola. Havli Matan is Venus, so therefore the Matan is as if it was a sale, and it would be the proceeds of that would go for the transfer of the Kedusha. Tanu Rabbanan, the Chachamim said, Tashmishi Mitzvah is Zerakim. Tashmishi Mitzvah, the thing that you use for a mitzvah, once the mitzvah is completed, you finish the mitzvah is no longer being used. That doesn't mean that the mitzvah is no longer being used in a time when it still is being, could be used. It means in time that's it, you're not using it anymore. So for example, we're going to give a whole bunch of examples. Mizrakim, you can throw it away. You can in a respectful manner, you can dispose of it. You don't have to bury it. It doesn't have a din of Tashmishi Kedusha. Tashmishi Kedusha, things that are used for holy things, things that we use for holy things, we're going to give examples, but they are nignos. Those have to be hidden away. They have to be buried. These are the things that are considered Tashmishi Mitzvah that you can dispose of in a respectful manner. And then we're going to speak about the things that are Tashmishi Kedusha that you have to be going with. So a sukkah after sukkahs has no kedusha. A lulav that you didn't use, that you used, but after sukkahs it has no longer any use for it. As a lulav, it has no kedusha. Shofar, the same thing, after you blow the shofar, it has no kedusha. Tzitzis have no kedusha when you're not wearing them. If you want to dispose of the tzitzis, I'm sorry? Talis Gadol might have a little bit of a Kedusha for a different reason, because it's designated for davening, so it might have some Kedusha. Even a Gartel has a little bit of more Kedusha than
Amen.
The Elen Tashmishi Kedusha. These are the things that are considered Tashmishi Kedusha, and you're not allowed to dispose of them. Luskime Swadim, the sack in which you hold Swarim Sikhetada, Swarim Levium Ksuvim, Tvilin and Mesuzah, the things that you hold, the Tvilin and Mesuzah, the Tikshal Sikhetada, and the covering of Sikhetada. And not Tikshal Tvilin, the covering of Tvilin, the Ritzuli Sehen, and the Ritzuli. Omar Rava says, Medesha Vamina, Taikur Sayyid, Tashmish to Tashmishu. I at first thought the Dima that you lay on was considered a Tashmish to Tashmishu, was a subsidiary use
And was not the Iker Tashmish Kedusha, and so it didn't have the same rule as Tashmish Kedusha. It had a lesser sanctity. Why? Because on top of the bima, as you look downstairs, you'll see there's a cloth on top of the bima. So really, you put the Sefer Torah, you put the Sefer Torah on the cloth, and the cloth is sitting on top of the bima. So it's a Tashmish to Tashmish. And so it doesn't have the rule of actual Tashmish Kedusha. Even the Chazin, the Mesiv HaLoi Sefer Torah, when I saw that they actually put sometimes the Sefer Torah down on the Bima,
directly,
I said Tashmish Kedusha, that it actually has a din of Tashmish Kedusha and has to be buried. And some places would say that's the Chavav on the page, in the middle of the page. So I would say that it's a Tashmish Kedusha. So some place can say that obviously a bima that you daven, that you lean on from week to week, every week it's a designated bima, that for sure would be considered a Tashmish Kedusha, even though you put a cloth on top of it, because the main thing that's holding up the Sefer Torah is not the cloth, it's the bima. So it would have a din of a bima. And the cloth is also for sure. Because that on which the Sefer Torah is sitting directly, but both would have the rule of a bima. But what we're talking about in this Gemara, according to some Pesachim, is a table that's used from time to time. And since most of the time you put on a talus on top of it and you lay it up with the Sefer there on top of the talus, I would have thought the table that's not usually used for a Shulchan Akriya, so then it doesn't have the din, it doesn't have the kedusha of the bima. That sometimes they lay on that table without putting down a talus. I said, even the table has the din of Tashmish Kedusha. Rather said, Midesh, at first time, I thought that High Priest of Tashmisha, the Tashmish, the curtain on which the parakas of the Aron Kodesh, they used to, in the old days, they would have a parakas on the outside of the Aron Kodesh and a parakas on the inside of the Aron Kodesh. And sometimes, says the Gemara, that they would wrap up the Sefer Torah. First he says, I thought, Rava says, at first I thought that the parakas and the curtain inside the Aron Kodesh was considered Tashmish to Tashmish, because the main Tashmish is the Aron Kodesh, and the parakas is just the Tashmish to Tashmish. When I saw that they take the Sefer Torah and they wrap it up sometimes in the Parecha, I mean, I said Tashmish Kedusha. It has a true Tashmish Kedusha of Asur, and you're not allowed to use it for other purposes.
Which one? The inner one?
Both of them. So they used to use either one. But today, that's not the halacha. Today we say that the Parecha is the Tashmish because nobody uses it to wrap up the Sefer Torah. But the parakas of an Aron, according to some Pesachim today, would have a din of Tashmish, so nobody would use it to wrap up the Sefer Torah. But and it's not the main structure of the Aron Kodesh. It has a door, and the parakas is just ceremonial. It's just for looks. Rava said, "Hi tevusa the irb, a teva." That Aron Kodesh that fell apart. You can make a small, and it would be permitted, Sharia would be permitted to make from it a small Aron Kodesh. I would have thought that a big Aron Kodesh that can hold many Sefer Torah has a greater Kedusha, so the parts that break off from Aron Kodesh, you have to make only a big, a large Aron Kodesh that can hold the same number of Sefer Torah. So we say, no. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. And so even if you want to make a small Aron Kodesh for one Sefer Torah with the part, you can do that.
Of course.
Also, if you make a bima from it, you can't make a bima from these parts. The Amar Rava and Rava says, High Priest of the Volum. The apreches the parts that fell apart from the Aron Kodesh, you can take it and you can make from the Parashas, you can make it as a cover for a Sefer. L'chamashim for a Sefer Torah, but L'chamashim, but for a Chumash, doesn't have sufficient holiness and you can't use it as a Matzah. Rava says, Hani is really the Chumash.
bags for that hold the chumash, the sacks that you put a chumash in, the kamatim of the sefer, and also the sacks of the sefer. Then the tashmishi kedusha. It's a din of tashmishi kedusha. The gnosim, and they have to be buried. Shisa, so the Gemara asks, Shisa, the Gemara answers, Ma'at the same, I would have thought that you are allowed to use it. Hani lav makavid avindin, avidan, since they're not made, I would have thought that only things that are made for the kavid of the sefer, or it's kavid of something, is considered to have a din of tashmish kedusha, but something that's only used to protect, not to give kavid, it's not an honor thing, it's just something that you're holding in for safekeeping, doesn't have a din of tashmish kedusha, and true ba'al, it's just for safekeeping, I would have thought it has no din, so kamash malon, so the avachid comes to tell us, the Gemara comes to tell us that Allah is that it does have a rule of tashmish kedusha.
What kind of object are we talking about?
We're talking about, let's say you put the safe area for safekeeping, you know, let's say you're going to go away to the center. You're afraid of moths or something, or insects coming and eating. So you want to put it in a plastic wrap. So you're putting it in a plastic wrap. That's not made for carpet. That's just made for safekeeping. Right, at Palace. But this is something to keep that's designated. You have designated use a Ziploc bag that you put the safe data in to keep it for protective reasons. So that wasn't made for cover. So I would have thought that because it's only made to protect the safe area from being ruined, that's not considered a tashmish kedusha. That's just something that's used for protective reasons, and that's not what was meant for tashmish kedusha. So we say, no, it doesn't matter. You're using it for protection. You're using it to glorify Zakim Vandei. It doesn't matter what the purpose is. It's used to the safe affair, and that has a bit of fashion kedusha. You keep the tefillin in a bag. It's not a fancy bag. It's a plastic bag, but that's the bag you keep it in, even though you're only keeping it not to make the tefillin look nice. You're keeping it just to protect it, so no, it has been a fashion kedusha.
Okay, is anything written on it?
I'm sorry?
Chumash means anything written on a cloth.
Chumash means that it's not going to have the din of a safer pair. We're talking about Chumash meaning that it's written safer. It could be written in a book form. It could be written in a thing. Maybe even we're talking about the Chumash. You can't use it to buy. You can't use it as a cover for a Chumash. You can use it for a cover for a complete safer pair. That was in Rome. There was a shul that was open to a room that was being used as a morgue. There was a dead body there. The Kohanim wanted to come in and daven in the shul. And there was open, the shul was open to a room that had a mace. So if the room is open to the mace, it has a din of an oil of a mace, and Kohen and Levi allowed to come into the shul. They wanted to come into David. Also, Amru Levi, they came, they told Levi what was going on. Amru Lehus, he sent to them blue tape. Take the Arim Kodesh and move it over to the doorway, to that doorway where the mace is, and block the doorway with the Arim Kodesh. Very smooth. And to put it there, those are as well, the Hamalek, for Azim Lenachas, because the Arim Kodesh is not generally an object that's moved. It usually sits in one place. It's considered to be a permanent stationary object, and permanently stationary objects block they block the Tumah from entering. It doesn't receive Tumah, and it doesn't transmit Tumah. So it doesn't allow Tumah to transmit, so if you put it in, lock the door, it won't become Tumah, and it won't allow Tumah to come into the shul, and the Kohanim will be able to come in and pop it. This was, of course, talking about a Arim Kodesh that was, what I'm saying, this Arim Kodesh was a small Arim Kodesh. It wasn't the size of our brain saw. Because if you have a keli that could contain our boy and saw the size of a minimum amount for a mikvah kasha, our boy and saw, that's considered so permanent that even if you move it around, or it doesn't matter that whether it's permanent or not, it has an intrinsic din that it's not makabel tumah, and it's chitzus mipnei, and it blocks tumah from coming. Whereas this was talking about a smaller one that was usually stationary. But if it would be a big one, it wouldn't matter.
Wait a minute. You're saying a small one does or does not? the Kabbal Tumah.
A small one, if it's usually stationary, is not the Kabbal Tumah. It depends, and it depends on whether it's stationary or not. A very large oven, a very large iron that could contain our grain of salt, it doesn't matter whether it's meant to be stationary or not. Even if it's on wheels, it wouldn't be the Kabbal Tumah because
the reason is not that big. It's that small.
It's a piece of furniture. It's big. You know, it's big. Big. Our friends is not that big. It's about the size of a person.
Small one. What matters is if it's stationary or not.
Yeah. If it's big, large, it's so large that it can contain our friends saw that it doesn't matter. So this one was a small one. So the Chacham said to Rava, but even in Tosle Kimarach said to Peter, sometimes they move the iron kodesh while the sefer perida is on top of it. So how are they metaltling mali v'reikam? And this type of oven, then if they move it with the sefer perida on it, sometimes they move when it has a sefer perida, sometimes it doesn't have a sefer perida. That's considered to be moved, an object that moves for purposes of when it's mole and when it's filled and when it's empty, and that doesn't have a din of a object that's considered to be stationary. So Rava said, "Hachi, how do you tell me that?" So, well, actually, there's nothing you can do. The kohenim can't come in now. So again, if this would have been a bigger size, so then it would make a difference, because it wouldn't matter if it was from the Taltle Moli Vereka. Mar Sutra said, "Mepuches Svarim Shavolo Eisenation Tachrichin Lemesh." What happens if you have the mantle of a Sefer Torah? It's great. Eisenation Tachrichin Lemesh. You can make it a Tachrichin for a dead person. So he can be Zosan, and that's the way you hide it away. That's considered the Geniza, and that's a proper way of disposing of it. So Amar Rava, and Rava said, say, Peter Shabbala, I say the Torah itself, that's frayed, and now it's no longer kosher, it's possible, and you can't fix it, so you have to bury it. So when you bury it, paint it next to the Chacham, you bury it next to a Talmud Chacham. You don't bury it next to a big Amar. That has to be buried next to a Talmud Chacham. It doesn't matter if Talmud Chacham, somebody knows Gemara and Paiskin. I mean, somebody who learns Kitzushol Chavarech, he knows the halachas, that's considered a sufficient Talmud Chacham to bury a Sefer Torah next to it. Amar Rav Achi bar Yaakov says, Uchlei Cheres. That you have to bury the Sefer Torah in a Klei Cheres. You have to put it in a clay vessel so that it will not immediately get disintegrated in the ground. It will be protected. Amara Papi Meshvei, that you'll put it in a clay cheret so that when the Yidden went into Golos, the first place on Mikdash, so the Navi said, take record deeds to your properties and put it in clay vessels and bury it so that when you come back in 70 years, this was absurd to tell them that they were going to come back relatively soon, that within 70 years their children will be coming back. So he said, bury your deeds so that when you come back, you'll have proof that you're the owner. So if you take it with you, it's going to get lost. So he told them an eitzah how to protect a cloth, and that is by putting it in the clay cheres. So from here we learned that a sefer Torah that came possible, you just put it into the ground for it to disintegrate, you put it into a clay cheres. This next piece goes into extended piece, so we're going to stop here.
Huh?